Welcome to the Other F Word Podcast with Morgan,
Sarah,
and Melissa,
where we talk about that dreaded word, failure. Join us as we explore the messy, tragic, funny, and inspiring stories that make us human. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Other F Word Podcast. We are here with P. Charlotte Lindsay. Hello, P. Charlotte.
We're already laughing.
Wink, wink.
We are excited to have her here. She is a midlife dating expert. She actually went on about 300 dates in 3 years.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. That's why I look like shit.
And we are going to talk about...
I don't want to see what your vagina looks like. My vagina is beautiful. How do you think I got all those dates? My vagina is more popular than I am.
We're going to interview your vagina later.
Yeah, exactly.
It can speak 4 languages.
Very impressive. Very impressive. And
Morgan's speechless. I don't know what to say when he hears the word vagina.
Where do I go? We're going to talk about the joys of online dating.
Especially heartbreak.
In midlife.
Yeah, post-divorce. When you don't know how to work your cell phone and your kids have to...
Or have sex in a car.
Well, yeah, that's really hard when you have arthritis in your hips.
All right, take us back on your journey a little bit. Where do we start this journey?
I think it was like 5 years ago, and I was a housewife. You know, I'm a writer, so I would write, but I was what I thought was the perfect suburban mom. I was a Girl Scout leader, and I volunteered at the school, and I threw dinner parties, and I wore aprons, literally.
Mm-hmm. baked cookies,
and we volunteered and sold the cookies and made money, supported an orphanage, and all these, you know, I was the perfect Doris Day mom, and then found out my husband was having an affair. You know, the whole time I found out from a mom at school, which was really fun.
Oh, God.
And boom, like overnight, my life completely changed. And I was single. I was in my mid-40s and I was single again. And I hadn't dated in 25 years. And the paradigm for dating has completely changed. If you're my age, if you're post-divorce, you have kids at home, you're pretty much stuck online. You know, a lot of people can't date people at work, and your friends are coupled, mm-hmm. and or dead, you know, it's or dying, you know.
You mean long-term marriage? Is that what you're talking about?
It's like, are we at the age where people start getting breast cancer, and, you know, it's rough. And if you want to date and you don't want to go out and sit at bars, you pretty much can't because you have kids at home. Online's your only option.
And what about school? Why not parents from school?
It's just not cool to date. You know, it's weird for the kids.
Right, that's
true. Your kid's friend's dad.
And, you know, I've seen dads at school. And so I know how much they're lying about their weight. I know what they really look like. It's weird.
Yeah.
And
so you've seen their online profiles. And then
you've seen, God. Yeah, and then you they know completely, who... they put really old. I wish there was like I want to develop an app where you can actually tell the truth about these guys, because.
What's that one? Like Angie's List, but for.
Yeah, Yelp. Yelp.
A Yelp review on
the
men
Yelp
you're
reviewing
dating.
Because a lot of the men I've dated, genius. I'm friends with now. Right. They're great guys, just not for me.
Right.
But so dating parents, and as a woman, you're kind of friends with the other women.
Right.
But I did notice what was interesting. As soon as I went from married to single, I joined a club called The Uninvited. It's basically, it's not a literal club, but you get ostracized. And I probably interviewed 100 women of all backgrounds about their experiences. And I don't care who you are. I think there was one woman whose community didn't change. So you have a reputation suddenly. You get that scarlet letter, even though...
You mean you're just not invited to parties?
You're not invited. You make people uncomfortable.
Because you're not part of a couple, because you're heartbroken.
Well, you know, at first I thought... I actually confronted. It's they think that we want their husbands.
Right, right.
Even though we've listened to you complain about their burping, farting, their flaccid dicks.
Their flaccid dicks.
I don't want him.
Right.
But that's where they
women
go.
Women get really, isn't that
in their head?
It's almost you like become this, a threat.
Yeah. But upon this journey and further examination, it's really that we represent what scares them the most.
I totally agree.
It's like we're contagious.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you can hug me without catching your husband having
catching divorce.
You can't catch divorce. And I promise one of these days is going to be sitting at my table.
Yeah.
I call it the proverbial glass of Chardonnay, where you come over, sit at the table. I give you the Chardonnay and I tell you how to do it and that you're going to be okay. And so, 50% of marriages end in divorce. Right now, I say,
is it really that high?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Still, and is that higher or lower? Do you know how it compares to different generations?
I think it's higher. Wow. Oh, I mean, it's obviously much more now, and I think online dating has a lot to do with it. There's so many options.
Mm-hmm. It's so easy to connect with other people.
Well, and you fantasize what it's like. The grass is always greener, and 80% of the people who date are doing it online.
Wow.
So, 30% of marriages today started online.
Are you kidding me?
30% today.
No, well, there's a certain stigma attached to it.
There is a stigma. Like, if you ask people how, when they're dating, are you online? Most people will deny it.
Well, so these interviews.
You don't have a lot of single friends. All of my single friends talk about it.
These interviews I've done.
Maybe you're right.
Mm-hmm. No, maybe you uninvite people.
There's still.
She's talking about you.
Stay out of my fucking kitchen, people.
There's still a stigma, definitely. And that's part of what I want to do is change that stigma.
We're about that.
And
here too.
And take away these judgments, because I was one of these people that, I could never do that, And
Never do what?
Online date. It terrified me. Dating, period, terrified me when I got to this point in my life. I didn't date before I got married. I didn't know how to date, and so I didn't for a long time. And finally, all my friends were like, enough already. He's not coming back. You need to move on with your life. My kids, Mom, you need to start dating.
Really? Well, that's encouraging.
So I tell everybody, you got to do it once. At least do it once. Even the people say, I would never do it, You've done it before off my phone.
Yes.
You swiped on my shoes.
I've swiped left. I've swiped right for you.
One morning, I looked, and it was all surfers and skateboarders.
I say yes.
And I'm like, William, were you swiping?
That's her son.
Yeah, he was picking out a dad.
Oh, hilarious.
Yes, and I love surfers. So,
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
So funny.
But I tell women who are single and broken, and
feeling like failures, right?
Feeling like failures. I mean, I saw one woman who was in our married group who got the proverbial glass of Chardonnay. I ran into her in Gelson's and she was on a walker. And I'm like, what the fuck? You got a divorce and now you can't walk anymore? She was all bent over and I thought she was an old lady and she
had fallen down.
No, she had just gotten divorced and her knees started hurting. Everything started hurting. So I said to her, you've got to do this. Oh, I could never. And so I said, listen, just do it once, because the thing that's healing about it is you've been left or you've gotten a divorce and you, let's face it, are in the invisible years,
Right.
And which I also want to change. But you just need that person to pay attention to you, to take you out, either a glass of Starbucks, a martini and champagne is better, but and just to look at you.
Yeah.
And listen to what you say and make you feel not a mom, not a wife, not a sister, not a neighbor, not anything, but just your separate self. And it's really healing and your mojo starts to come back.
Yeah.
And so,
Well, it sounds like it's really more about, you as an individual finding your own identity outside of those roles that you just described.
And that you feel like you failed at.
Right.
Okay. So I'm starting over again. Oh my God, my marriage failed.
Right. I'm a failure as a partner, as a woman.
What am I doing to my kids?
Right. Oh, well, I guess even as a mother, that's
and
true.
And I'm uninvited.
Right.
So a failure in your social network.
In everything. Yeah. At the time I had chosen to stay at home. This man said, I'll take care of you forever, raise the kids. My career was gone. I had nothing. And the problem is when I started Tindering, I was doing it for all the wrong reasons.
Can you explain just very briefly to our listeners what Tinder is, by
okay,
the way?
Okay, Tinder.
And maybe all of the platforms for online dating.
They're the godfather. And what I say is when you say Tinder, you're basically referring to all
websites.
Tindering
it's like
has
Ubering.
Become a
it's
verb.
A verb, right.
Yeah. But it originally, it's a site where you put up what you're looking for. You put your best foot forward, which is always a lie, at least with men. I have Tinder's golden rule. Add 10 years, 10 pounds, take off 3 inches.
Wow.
Never, when you look at their picture, just assume that's what you're going to get when you show up. But you swipe. It's obscene, you know, it's terrible, but you look at them, and for me, I was terrified of bald heads, you know, when I started. Bald heads scared me. What do they feel like? Where do you put your hands, you know, when you're kissing? Do you rub it, you know? I didn't know what to do, so I stayed away from bald heads. Now, Melissa... Melissa's like, it doesn't bother her.
I'm an expert in bald
heads. Good. She can tell me what
Come
to do
me,
with it.
Right,
Another
yes.
one of my girlfriends, I said, I can't date a bald man. She goes, think about what you can do with that head.
Like, it's all about reframing.
What does that mean? I didn't know what it meant, but I went ahead and tried it.
No pun intended.
Oh, no. Wow. I don't even know about.
You're swiping.
Oh, Morgan, you have no idea.
Swipe, swipe, swipe. And if you see somebody you like, which I tell women, step outside your comfort zone. Yeah. Don't assume he's going to be picking you. Just swipe right. Swipe left means no thank you. Swipe right means yesy, you know. And if he's yes. also swiped on you, it goes ping. It's a match. And right then you write the end of your story. Right then you write, oh, he's really a Doctors Without Borders, and he's going to fall in love. He's going to give me a huge diamond ring, and I'm going to live
happily ever after.
Because
right.
you matched. Right.
Yeah.
He wants
and
you
just,
you want him.
That's what we do.
Well, that's
especially
what women,
right out of divorce.
That's
when
what women do. I'm sure the guys like,
yeah, we,
his
women,
happily ever after is probably
no,
like.
Guys are like, oh, good. I get to fuck her.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not the case. Most of the time when you get in our demographic and when you have kids at home,
right.
we actually want relationships.
Right. Right.
And so, you match and then on Tinder, you just start texting. So it's generally, at least for me, it was like, I want the man to make the first move. Mm-hmm. I'm shy and I'm just old fashioned in that way. So I learned the hard way. I would get a lot of "what's up" or just "hi." And and I found out that meant he had 300 girls and he was just like hi-ing all the way down and seeing who responded. But some men look at your profile, they read it, they'll say, oh, I see you like to surf. I also like to surf and I'm a musician and because I have a degree in music. And they really care. And so you engage with them. Ultimately, you graduate to the phone call. You graduate to texting on your cell phone. Out of the app, onto your cell phone, you text, then you graduate to the phone call, and then you graduate to the date, and then on date 3, you fuck, because yeah. date 3 is the sex date, and then after 3 sex dates, he suddenly thinks that he can get Jessica Alba.
Right.
So I call
that.
It Jessica Alba syndrome.
I love that. Uh-huh.
You go on 3 sex dates, and he thinks, if I can get her... You know, I can do better. So right. he dumps you and you're heartbroken because you had 3 sex dates and you thought you were getting married. And, and then inevitably he'll come back. So because they can't get Jessica Alba mm-hmm. and they're like, oh, I really screwed it up with Charlotte. And they come back and you don't want him anymore. Like Valentine's Day, I had one from 5 years ago, 4 years ago, 3 years ago, 2 years ago. And I fucking hate these guys at this point because they dump me.
Right.
They hurt me.
Yeah.
So whenever my friends get too hurt or I get too hurt, we're like, just remember the song. He always comes back. They always come back. And they do. It's just the way it is.
That's so pathetic.
But you've already felt like a failure in it, so you don't
oh, God.
Want them back.
I'm still single.
Yeah.
You know, I'm still single. And I, every single time, I learned something. So when you start out on this journey, you have your Jam Brady, I call it your Jam Brady circle, full of everything I want in a man. And it's jammed. You know, it's not only is it everything that you didn't get with your husband, it's every fantasy you had when you watched the Brady Bunch.
Right.
And so it's just jammed. But every date, as you go along, you take some things
chips
off.
Chips away at that fantasy.
Yeah, you're like, okay, that's I'll so give sad. You this. I'll, you know, you can have this, you can have that. You kind of give away the old clothes. Like, I don't really need somebody who was, you know, the president of IBM, you know, has an Academy Award. And I've been doing it so long that my circle is pretty much empty. It's pathetic. I have three words in my circle. And
what are they?
My three words are funny. Really, that's the most important thing. Because I said, when you're on your deathbed, because we're getting so old, we got to start thinking about death. This is the person I'm going to die with. I want to go out laughing, you know.
For sure.
I want somebody who's just going to laugh me dead.
So laugh me to death.
I like that.
And strong. And when I say strong, I don't mean tough. I tried the tough for a while. I tried the guy. Oh, there's so many guys with tattoos on Harley Davidson. The first thing a man does when he gets divorced is get a Harley Davidson. You see these poor guys, and they're like urologists. And they don't know how to ride it.
So true.
But they're posing. And their arms are all
jacket.
Sunburned. Yeah. They have their vests on, yeah. And you can see they're all red. So,
but they have to have a photo of themselves in front of their Harley.
Their Harley, because
Tinder.
They think we want tough.
Yeah.
And we don't want tough. We want strong. Because
right.
To me, a strong is a man who's not going to leave, no matter what. And he's a man who's going to make me a better person. Not that I don't like who I am, but he's somebody who's going to lift me
right.
to another place. He's somebody who, when I walk into a room, he's going to look across this room and say, she's my girl. And so I want strong. I want funny. And I can't even remember the last one. So I'm down to two words. I'm not an early morning person. So
this
I'll remember the word. I'll yell it
right.
out at 3 a.m. Oh, I remember the other thing I wanted.
We'll get to
yeah.
it. We'll edit
yeah,
it.
Possibly mid-coital. You'll yell it out.
Yeah, and it has nothing to do with, I know this, it's nothing to do with money. It has nothing to do with status. Oh, creative. Duh. I needed.
Right.
I really need somebody creative.
Right.
Yeah, creative, funny, and strong. A good man. I don't care about anything else.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to find. I thought it was urban legend, but Melissa and I have a friend who found somebody. Mm-hmm. Now, it was a couple years ago.
I thought it was urban legend.
Urban legend.
And we really right now are at our all-time low. We
God,
really are at our all-time low with the online. And
who's we?
Yeah.
Society.
Society, yeah.
And I do... I love men. I'm raising one.
Why did you just look at me? You're like,
well,
I'm about to
trash
you. Yeah, here's the butt.
But
brace yourself.
The humans with the penis are behaving horribly. They really are, and I think they know they are. But they hit this post-divorce midlife thing, and this is my last chance. You know, this is it. And they're living the dream, or they're living the life. And I laugh. They'll put in their blurb, no drama. Okay, yeah, I really want a lot of drama.
Yeah.
No drama, you know, must be fit. Living the dream, Marina Del Rey, and they're
That's
going
divorce
on and
capital
on.
Of LA.
Well, it is in California. It's got the most bachelors,
really?
And I always say Marina Del Rey is where bachelors go to die.
Mm-hmm. You know,
I think so.
All right, here's my thought on that though, because I agree with you. I can see how, because I had dinner like 2 weeks ago with two of my friends, and we talked about this because they're both single. And they were telling me their experience, but it's different than what you're talking about. But I think that's because they've never been married.
I was just going to ask, are they post-divorce with children?
They're not.
Okay,
so they're
very different.
Ready to find somebody.
Yeah. We stay away. When I give advice.
Late 40s, 49,
give advice. If it says never married, no kids, run
stay
the
away.
Other way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why?
Because they have commitment issues. And it's fine when you're in your 30s and your 20s. It's when you're in your 20s, you're having fun. When you're in your 30s, you're thinking about getting married. When you're in your 40s,
I think it's a red flag too.
Isn't that a generalization?
I think it is, especially I would say this is a deeper issue. I think especially like in a town like LA, you know, I think it's different here than
That's
if
true,
they grew up enough. In, you know, where I'm from, where, you know, mm-hmm.
people got
in
married.
Florida or somewhere in Alabama. You know what I'm saying? Like you can just not find the right person here. There's so many people and
there's a
they
lot
might
of
have
women.
Issues, but I don't.
Yeah, they
they're
have
great
issues.
Guys who.
Yeah, they know they have issues. Do they have cats?
No.
Look at them. They do.
No, one
they
of them had a cat.
Have. There you go.
And one of them loves this podcast. And I love you. And you're going to find somebody
well, maybe,
great.
Do not
maybe he
get
should
a cat.
Come on. Maybe we need the male representation because I think it's. I mean, I think you've done your research for sure. You have been, you know, dating. And so I think you can speak from a place of truth. However, you never know someone's subjective story and that, you know, they've had heartbreak or they've had trauma or
I'm looking at Melissa laughing because she can't think of one person. But why have they never gotten married? And my experience with dating men who've never been married is and this is just a practical thing. It's not a judgmental thing. Is they don't get what it's like to have children. So they are used to being the center of their universe. And I'm not saying this in a bad way. It's just as you age, again, it's different when you're in your 30s. But when you're in your 50s and in your 60s, saying you're in your 50s. And in your 70s, saying in your 60s. And 79, saying you're 56.
Wow.
You're really used to having... doing things the way you want.
Yeah. True. You don't have to sacrifice for children.
And make accommodations.
And for a relationship.
And,
And there's other indicators. There's cats. I mean, I hate to say it.
They don't. One of them has a dog. One of them had a cat years ago that passed away. And it would play fetch with them.
If they're really attached to cat.
I took Facebook off my phone.
It tends to be.
Are
you
going to
show me his picture? We'll find it. They tend to be. Oh, the other indicator is the whole Iron Man biker thing. The whole
right.
Where they put the whole thing in their package. That's just an excuse to show their package. But they
Morgan
do
does that all the time.
Your package?
Morgan does that all the time.
I mean, it shows itself no matter what I wear.
I
don't wear Iron Man outfits.
Yes, but you're not
I just
online.
Can't help it.
You're not online posting 7 pictures of it. But I have found.
Where are we going?
I have found that men who bike. Again, I'm speaking in broad generalization.
I did one triathlon.
I'm going to get so much nasty shit from this, and I am just generalizing. I know there are exceptions. One is sitting at the table here with me. He is just the best guy in the whole world. And his wife is the luckiest woman in the whole world.
True.
But men who are in these bike clubs or whatever, again, commitment issues because they're riding their bike
for
6 hours
a day,
and they're just not around. Yeah. So there's, you know, men kissing their cats as their primary photo.
No one has put a picture
what
up
is the cat
of them
thing?
Kissing
oh,
their cat as
yes,
their primary.
Yes, they have.
There's no way some man
I saw it.
This will get me the lady.
He's kissing his cat, birds on the shoulder.
Okay. Swipe left.
Swipe
no,
left.
No, swipe right. You
or
meet that
worse
guy.
Than that is the big snake.
Oh,
you know?
Come on.
Swear to God, big snake.
But people, there's a woman out there who loves
that guy.
I don't know.
It's just not for you.
Wait. Can you go back to the cat thing? What is it about cats, men owning cats, that's an indicator of
because
being, having
commitment
issues?
Because I think that with dogs, there's a little more. I like cats. Again, I don't want the nasty letters about the cats. But I like cats. But they don't connect like a dog does.
Right.
And some men are weird with their dogs. This guy went, I didn't notice this. I was a newbie. But he had this dog in every single photo. And I'm like, oh, that's so cute. And we go out, and he said, right now I have to let you know, if we work out, Twinkie is sleeping with us.
When did he say that? At what point did he say
that? The first date.
No, he did not.
And it was, Twinkie was a big, huge Rottweiler. Big Rottweiler. And the guy was unemployed, but he had an interview at the Ferrari dealership the next day. Like, he was just a great prize. I would be so lucky if I got him.
Oh, my God.
Okay.
And the dog. And the dog.
Charlotte, can you tell us maybe one of your worst dates ever?
My worst date?
Mm-hmm.
That or guy was pretty bad.
That guy.
Well, this is my worst date in that I was at my own personal low. I was drinking too much. Because when you go on these dates and they're awful, you drink just to get through them.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can imagine.
I eat. And then you don't eat a lot because they don't want to spend money on you if they're not going to get laid or if it's not going to work out. So I was at my all-time low. I had just broken up with a homeless guy. And
they all have names.
Yeah, you automatically name your Tinder dates. It's an innate filing mechanism. We can't keep track of them. No, but this man was a writer. I met him on Match, which was supposed to be better. It's not.
That's
Match.com. Yeah, it's the worst. Because men have to work at lying. They have to write essays to lie. But I've had like 3 men who were married. But this guy was a writer, and he'd written screenplays, and he teaches writing. He has a son, you know.
Sounded good on paper.
Oh, yeah. On paper, he was great. He had good grammar, good punctuation. He could spell.
I would hope so as a writer.
And we made a plan for dinner, and I had to drive to him, which was great because I'm a single mom, and I have nothing but time. And I drove to him, and I swear to God, it was like a Shakey's with a bar. And so I meet him, and he's sitting there, and he's wearing all black, and there's a butter stain on his shirt. And so he's sitting at the bar, and he's looking at me like he's Cary Grant, you know, like, oh, you lucky girl, you lucky girl. So I'm obsessing on the butter stain. You know, like if they have a booger in their nose or something in their ear.
Did the butter stain just happen?
It was down at the bottom. No, it was old because we hadn't ordered anything and he was wearing all black. And so I'm like, martini supersize. And I'm drinking this martini and he doesn't want to order food. So he orders an appetizer for us to share. And he's telling me all about his book on horse racing that he wrote on jockeys, and we really should write together, you know, we really should do a screenplay together. And he was hustling me, so I ordered another martini and another martini, and he started to look pretty good, you know. He looked better.
Look at
than
that sexy butter stain.
He looked better than the homeless guy. And so, oh my God, this is horrible. I can't believe I'm telling you. And I fucked him in my car. And because the whole night he was talking about what a great lover he was. And at this point, I'm like, I'm just going to dick with the guy. And I'm like, oh my God, I don't know. I'm just, you know, I've only had sex like 3 times and I don't know what I'm doing. He goes, I can help you. I can help you. I can teach you. And he's talking about how great he is. So I go to the car. I'm like, whatever, and let's do it. And it's the worst. I mean, just awful.
Okay, here's your first cue. When somebody talks about what a great lover they are, I think that's usually a sign, isn't it? Like, am I right that the more you boast about it, it's kind of
like especially
anything.
If you write it in your profile, you're in big trouble. But when we were done, and I was just like, what have you done? He gets up to put his pants on or whatever. All these crumbs came falling out. Oh, and I felt
did you
so
lick the
bad.
Crumbs up, which
Shut
is
up.
Weird. Just
That's
weird.
Why the butter stain. Because he must have had bread and butter.
He had dipped bread into butter. He can't afford food.
It's stuffed bread and butter in his pockets.
So the next day I wrote the text. Is this your friend? Yeah. He's got a cowboy. So, oh my God, I've matched with him before.
No, yeah, you haven't.
Yes,
okay,
I have.
Let's abort.
Oh my God.
All right, so you got the crumbs.
I don't think
you're licking crumbs up.
Did you go out with him?
No.
Don't say
no.
His name.
He's cute.
Let me see. Yeah. He didn't swipe on me.
He does well.
I swipe on him every time and he does. Fuck you.
Oh my God.
He doesn't pick me.
Oh, well, we need to have him on.
He's one of my good friends.
He's going to pick the new one. Yeah. He didn't pick on the old one where I was so sweet and like was being really
genuine and authentic.
And genuine. Right. And I had
that
really.
That is so hilarious. For real?
For reals. I've seen him on more than one fight, I think. But my original, I went on here all dualistic.
Right.
Okay, this is where I fail. I mean, I went on as my real self. And I really worked on this. My friends helped me take pictures that showed who I really was and showed me doing a sport, showed me with a friend, showed me a picture of me with my daughter, you know, and I wrote about being a single mom and just what I was looking for, which is a kind, you know, blah, blah, blah. Nothing. You know, nothing.
Swipe left, swipe left,
especially
swipe left.
Especially after I turned 50. I mean, I was 49 for like 3 years. And when I turned 50, it just dried up.
No, meaning nothing as in nobody responded?
Everybody lies. Because
no, but did anyone, when you say nothing, did you mean nobody responded to you?
They
you
didn't even have anything to give me. Because
you didn't match with
they
anybody?
Put their, you know, everybody puts your parameters. So I'll say like 40 and all. I say 40 to 55 because a lot of these men over 55 are 79, but they feel 55. They tell me, I'm like, you're 79? And he goes, yeah, but I feel 56. I'm like, well,
I'm an amazing
I
lover.
Feel 13, and that's really pervy. But I ran out of guys, you know, my real self. I stopped getting choices. And when I turned 50, I got nothing. And it's hard to turn 50 and as a single mom and your careers and your friends are all coupled. It was just fucking hard.
And your kids are getting older and not needing you.
Oh,
in the same
my God.
Way.
And right. Then I kept going, you know, and it got worse and worse. And the guys I went out with were just horrible. I've written stories about them. They were so horrible. And I was comparing notes with other friends who I thought it was horrible, but they have worse stories. And then we laugh. We call, you know, we have Martini Fridays where we get together. We show each other the dick pics, first of all, that we get.
And you really get dick pics.
Yes. The very first time I was so innocent. I'd seen three penises my entire life. And this guy, he was bald. I'm like, I'm stepping out of the
bald on top.
I wish you could see the way she looked at Melissa.
Not just bald on top, because here I was and I was all dressed. I was so nervous and he stood me up. And so
he's like, sorry about that. Here's a big
yes. He basically, he's like, oh, I'm still in Santa Barbara. I can't make it. Oh. And then I'm watching The Daily Show. Ping. And there's just his body lying on a bed. And this is before I knew how to read the background of a profile picture. Because looking back, it was like a funky bedspread, like from Motel 6. And he had Levalor blinds. Levalor blinds are just a dead giveaway.
What are Levalor blinds?
They're the old things like from college.
Right.
The
vertical.
And they bend. I always say the last time I saw a Levalor blind was when I was in college lifting my head off the floor after like
after
drinking all
night. Right,
like hangover. Oh my God, that guy is a bent Levalor. So that was the room, and it was like neck down, and he's lying. It's his. I'm like, what the fuck? What is this? And it came into focus. And first of all, the socks. Like, there's no pants on, dude. Take your socks off. And so there's like the white socks, and then there are these legs.
At least they're not black. At least they're not black socks.
No, I've seen the black socks, and
what's wrong with black socks?
I know. I would think that would be a
just
higher level.
Weird.
Of...
Well, I mean, just the socks. Period. I think any color.
I think the white socks. He was a little more athletic. So
exactly.
But he has like these.
Couldn't you tell
briefs,
from his body?
And he has like a pup tent. I think that's how we refer to it. And he says, look at what you do to me. And I went, you know, like, I don't know. I went, wow, I don't know what I'm supposed to do.
Thanks.
Then I go back to The Daily Show, ping, and I look, and he has no pants on. There's a penis there as bald as the top of his head. And I was like, And then I went, oh, you know, like, oh, and because back then I was still polite.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I was freaking out. Okay, go back to Daily Show. Then I get another ping, ping. And he's got the penis with his hand next to it. And then I realized this is a size reference. Mm-hmm. He's holding his hand to show me how big his penis is. And I looked at it and I wrote back. This is the last thing I said. I said, but what if you have small hands? And then I signed off. But then I started researching, and apparently my friends are like, oh yeah, I got the dollar bill and the Budweiser. Like, oh, that's a real turn on when you show me how big your dick is by holding a Budweiser next to it. Because that's just what I'm looking
for.
Yeah,
yeah.
And why are you saying there's a problem with men out there? I don't understand. Crazy.
It's crazy. And we all get them, and we name penises just like we name the guys. So what I did is I'm working on a book, and I got my friends really drunk at our restaurant, the local peasant, and I gave them each cocktail napkins, and I said, I want you to draw your favorite
cock on the cocktail.
I want you to draw your favorite one, dick pic. And they all did, and they named it. So my favorite one was Bobblehead. And then there was Dodger Dog. There was the Virgin Mary. That was uncircumcised. She said it was uncircumcised, and it looked like the Virgin Mary. And we got all these different – I thought I'd make a coffee table book or something like that out of dick pics. But I failed. I mean, I failed at finding someone, and I learned something. But when you watch your friends go through it, it's tough. And so I started writing these essays. I love to write funny stories and sending it to my friends. Hmm. And I was working for a site at the time, and I pitched it, and they're like, yeah, let's start publishing these. So, My mission still is just to help, you know, when you are feeling broken, when you're going back out there and you're over 40 and you don't know what you're doing, let me help you.
But here's my question is, you know, so you said right at the beginning that it's so helpful and important for women who have just been divorced to go out and to go on a date so that they can be seen and listened to and heard. But it doesn't sound like many of these men are doing much looking or listening. They really do.
They put their first until the sex date. Yeah. Right. You get, oh, and the sex date, they're really pulling out all the stops. Yeah. They're cooking you dinner. You know, they're, I had one guy who carved me this beautiful cutting board he went out and he cut down an oak and he cut out the heart and he carved the center. It was so gorgeous. And presented it to me. And then we drank too much. This was the sex date. It was horrible sex because we were so drunk. I don't even think we finished. But I got the cutting board.
But you know what I'm thinking about? Partly because I'm been married for a long time, and also because I am in the business of relationships. Relationships are really hard. And I think so many people struggle with how to be in a relationship, that you can do the beginning, you can do the honeymoon, you could do the courting, you can do the wooing, but the really hard stuff that comes up of how to stay connected, how to stay present, how to listen, how to nurture, how to be vulnerable, how to communicate, how to problem solve, how to get through a fight, all your family of origin shit, like that's the meaty hard stuff that I think we are really struggling with, right? Even if you're long-term married, people are, I think, secretly struggling.
Well, I think that I tell my friends who are married, life is long, you know, and relationships, I see this now. I was in a really bad marriage. There was no way for me to stay in it. But when I have friends who are like, oh, he works too much, or he got me the wrong candle, you know, or we were supposed to go to China, now we're only going to Hawaii, and, you know, the whole, you can't keep a heart on. And it's like life is long, and it's not what you think on the other side. Yeah. It's really fucking hard on the other side.
Yeah. It's also hard on both sides, right?
That's what I'm saying.
Yes. Yeah.
Is that if you're unhappy, that's just life. We can't be happy. And it's the drug. It's like we live, life is a video. It's not a photograph.
Right.
So we're living in our wedding photo. And really the video has been playing out this whole time.
Right. It's a great story.
And so people get stuck in that drug of infatuation.
Totally. Yes.
And that's why I say Tinder is addictive, meaning all of them, because the upside is when you're this, and this is what causes, I think, this mistake of leaving a marriage or a relationship that really ultimately can swing back again.
Mm-hmm. But it takes work.
It takes work and time.
People think once you get married or once you enter a committed relationship that then it should be easy. And I think the part that is really important is that all relationships are hard. They take work. Some might have an easier flow or an easier connection, but relationships take a lot of work. They take a lot of maintenance. They take a lot of communicating. And you're right. So many
and
people
patience.
Think.
And,
right.
Yeah. Well, and, yeah. And I have a friend who's been married twice before when she was younger. And really, her life's about finding someone. Mm-hmm. But sometimes I worry that she puts so much of her happiness on that. I'm like,
well, that's
it's
what
still
I
gonna,
started.
Yeah, it's still going to be life. Yeah. Like, yes. I don't think because you find
answer.
This person that then everything is like
the answer.
Perfect.
Because
how
so
I
much
started.
Of it is finding this person. Yeah. Yeah. Yes. I worry about that.
Yeah. I say, like, in the arc of my life so far, is that and when you write like a screenplay or a book or anything, you know, your hero in the beginning is doing the wrong things for the wrong reasons. So mine was, oh, I got to find a husband because that will make me happy. And by the end, you're doing the right things for the right reasons. And for me right now is no, not to find a husband is to learn how to surf because that makes me happy all by myself. And to see what happens with this because it's become really important to me. And wouldn't it be nice if I could find the man, but he needs those three things. Mm-hmm. He needs those three things. So I'm doing the right things for the right reasons now. And I think that's where me, who has failed so much in this process, can now, I say we, the worst thing that happens becomes the best thing that happens. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of found meaning in being Miss Lonely Heart. Like it's just totally failing over and over and over again and getting disgusted and wanting to help women and helping women and empowering women. And we have fun now.
Yeah.
We have fun now and we're able to call these bad men, not all men, but just the badly behaved men out on their shit. You could tell from my blurb. You know, it's just like.
So, yeah, that's right. We never heard about your new blurb.
Our new profile is amazing.
My first blurb was looking for. This is my first. This is my idealistic.
What you wrote on as your Tinder profile.
This is my original Tinder when I was on Tinder 5 years ago when I just out of this marriage and wanted. I don't know. It says single mom, writer. And community service maven seeks kind, compassionate, intelligent, funny man, steady in his life, to exchange witty banter, clever repartee, and perhaps see where it leads. I worked really hard on that.
Butterstain helps.
And then I wrote, tall as a plus, I'm 5'11". Because it's weird when somebody's 5'4 and you're a novelty. And now, this is what I have. Single mom, game player, seeks lots of drama, dude living the dream, preferably not yet divorced, will consider hookup if you say you are seeking LTR, lifetime romance, or no hookups, written in all caps. Photo of you in your sports car, boozing it up, or with bevy of chicks, really turn me on. Have me drive to you because I'm a single mom and have spare time. Photo recent. Lying about my age a lot. This has gotten more swipes than...
And your picture's pretty provocative as well.
Oh, I put on the biggest slut pictures. Like, just provocative.
So,
yeah, not me at all.
Do you think that these guys are not seeing this as sarcastic, the guys who are responding?
Okay, half of them...
Good question.
Are half of them think that I'm really that person. and write sexual. I'm like, Jesus, you know, these are, but some just fell in love. They're like, I love this. Cause probably on the other side, they're just as disgusted. Yeah. I imagine there's women who are just, it's funny. This man I went out with, and he's a great guy and we'll be friends, said, as soon as he put doctor down, cause he is a doctor, he goes, my swipes exploded.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or if you write filmmaker, director, there's so many directors, but then when you meet them, they're like, yeah, I'm the director of the dog food department at Petco. They just put director.
That's awesome.
So it's bad on both sides. But yes, awesome. Since I changed my profile, because I had given up. I mean, this last time, it just broke my heart. Melissa had to like listen to me cry, and I can't believe I'm still getting my heart broken, mm-hmm. but I am. And the guy totally lied, and I thought, oh, this guy's the one. So then I was just like, fuck you, Bumble. And I did this profile just to entertain myself. You know,
that's another dating app for those of you who don't
know.
Yes,
I'm on Bumble now. And mm-hmm. there's a ton. There's Bumble, there's Hinge, there's Match.com, there's JDate, there's OkCupid, which I call OkPorn. there's eHarmony, which has, for whatever reason, every short man. I've never seen a man over 5'9".
And then there are kink sites, right?
There's a lot of niche sites. Well, Grindr started everything, which has now become very mainstream and actually classing it up. Like they're getting into magazine. They're kind of going GQ a little bit. But
was Grindr gay, I think? Was that?
It's gay men.
Gay men, right.
But
not anymore?
It still is. Oh, okay. But it's now because these other sites are so gross that Grindr is, you know, and gay men are kind of classy, you know, let's face it, they're pretty neat, so they know how to do it, you know, and they do it well. But there's like fuzz, you know, furries, and there's you know, there's My Little Ponies and bronies, and there's book sites, and there's the farmers,
I
tried that one. It was too hard. It was too difficult to fill out the form. And I'm like, geez, these farmers must be like MIT scholars. I could not figure that one out. But I've done every single one.
What we talk about all the time is how do you push through feelings of failure? How do you learn from it? How do you grow from it and keep going? And
well, when I said stick with it, I meant stick with the assholes. Hmm. So, I definitely stick with the thing I like about dating and online dating is you have hope.
Right.
You wake up every morning and you say, I wonder if this is the
Today
day.
Is
I
the
wonder
day.
If he's the one. And also the only other positive is you get the butterflies again.
Yeah.
And that's the addictive part.
That, I was going to say,
and there's
that's
a lot of
success
from online dating.
Yep.
Numbers wise, that you hear.
Yeah. Well, not now. There was.
Oh, there was.
We're bottoming out right now because
but
there's
as a
no
culture,
connection.
As a culture, we are bottoming out in terms of.
That's what. Yeah, and it's going to change. Something has to change, or we'll stop reproducing. Like I look at this as a step in evolution, really. Yeah. Because there is no connection.
It's a crisis.
Nobody wants to get to know you. Yeah. People are feeling shame and isolating.
Yeah.
And
I was just trying to put a positive spin on it. Okay, you assholes. But
the butterflies.
You get to get butterflies,
and you make friends. I have friends.
Friends.
But the butterflies are addictive. So if you can manage the butterflies, I always say online dating is like cookie dough. And you take a bite and it tastes really good. You know, like, oh, this is good. So you take another bite and you like, oh, I'm sneaky. I'm this, I'm that. I'm so wild. But eventually you've eaten the whole bowl and you want to vomit. And that's when you go on a diet. And so I put myself on man diets. I put myself on man breaks. And I step away. And when I've got my head together, I go back. and I'm healthier. I'm in a healthier place. I've had time to contemplate my mistakes and examine and go through my dream circle, my Jan Brady dream circle, and go back again.
And that kind of sums up the whole notion of failure in terms of like the way that we try to talk about it, which is, you know, how positive it can be, and it's painful when you're going through it, and yet there is so much growth to be had. And the more you go back, like you say, you are now an expert on dating, and who knew, who expected that you would ever be at this point in your life, right? And yet you've turned it into something positive, and you've found a way of growing from the failure.
Can I say one? I know we need to wrap up, but as a note to leave you on is, I didn't realize I was in a bad marriage. I would have stayed that way forever because I thought, this is all there is. This is what it's supposed to be like, and this is it. And now that I'm out, and I thought I could never be happy again. I thought it was the end of my life. I look back and I'm like, oh, I was in a bad marriage, and I can do better, and I deserve to be happy. And that's the positive thing that came out of all of this.
Totally.
And I picture you on your surfboard.
Hanging ten.
Out in the ocean with some hot surfer.
When
just
Laird Hamilton leaves
up
his wife.
And there it is. Right? When you least expect it.
With a van that is much more comfortable to have sex in.
I would totally do it. Yeah, with a van.
With a surfer van. Exactly.
Tall, 6 foot woman.
Well, and are you still writing? How can people find you if they want it? Because your writing is so funny and beautiful.
So funny.
And poignant.
It's true. I have a website, peacecharlottelindsay.com. And I also blog on the site, theworkingsinglemom.com. And then, I write for a lot of different publications, but Instagram is like kind of my daily joke.
So
and,
funny.
And that's P. Charlotte Lindsay. And then I have a Facebook page, which is new. And that's more inspiring. It's not as nasty. Because my kids can see it.
And we will definitely link that
awesome
stuff up
if
in
you,
the post.
Yeah, if everybody can follow me, that would be great.
And hopefully you'll have a book coming out
soon. We have a book, so we're starting to shop that around. And
it's important. Yeah. It's an important discussion. So thank you for coming
you're
on.
You're amazing. Yeah,
and sharing your wisdom.
Funny, hilarious.
My pleasure.
So great.
So
and
much.
If anybody has questions, they can contact me through the site. And so there's a lot of really useful information there.
Wow. Yeah. Awesome.
Wow.
Thank you so much.
Crazy. You're welcome. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Other F Word Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review our podcast, and visit us online at theotherfwordpodcast.com. You can also find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And we'd love to hear your stories of struggle with failure. You can contact us at info@theotherfwordpodcast.com. See you next time.